flame burned a deep lilac, clean and pure against the stars. He was careful to avoid shining the thrust beam directly back towards the flotilla, but there was no way he could hide it completely. It hardly mattered. They had the edge now, and whatever the other ships chose to do, Sky would reach the Caliuche first. It would give him, he thought, a small foretaste of what the greater victory would be like when he brought the Santiago to Journey's End ahead of the others. It was as well to remember that everything he did now was only part of that larger plan. But there was a difference, of course. Journey's End was definitely out there, definitely a world which he knew to be real. He still had only Titus's word that the Caliuche existed at all. Sky turned on the long-range, phased array radar, and, much like the Brasilia had done, extended a hand gropingly into the darkness. If it was out there, he would find it.
"Can't you just leave him alone?" Zebra said.
"No. Even if I was ready to forgive him, which I'm not, I still have to know why he taunted me the way he did. What was he hoping to get out of it?" We were in Zebra's apartment. It was late morning. The cloud cover over the city was sparse. The sun was high and the place looked melancholy rather than satanic. Even the more warped buildings assumed a certain dignity, like patients who'd learned to live with gross deformity. Which did nothing to make me feel any less disturbed, convinced more than ever that there was something fundamentally wrong with my memories. The Houseman episodes hadn't stopped, yet the bleeding from my hand had become much less severe than it had been at the start of the infection cycle. It was almost as if the endocrinal virus had catalyzed the unlocking of memories, which were already present. Memories at stark odds with the official version of events on the Santiago. The virus might have been close to burning itself out, but the other Houseman memories were coming on more strongly than ever, my association with Sky becoming more complete. Originally it had been like watching a play. Now it was like playing him, hearing his thoughts, feeling the acrid taste of his hatred. But that wasn't all of it. The dream I'd had the afternoon before, of looking down on the injured man in the white enclosure, had troubled me more than I could easily explain at the time, but now, having had time to think about it, I thought I knew why. The injured man could only have been me. And yet my viewpoint had been that of Kaweya, looking down into the Hamadryad pit at the reptile house. I could have put that down to tiredness, but it hadn't been the only time I'd seen the world through his eyes. In the last few days there'd been odd snatches of memory and dream where I'd been more intimate with Gita than I thought had ever been the case. Instants when I felt I could bring to mind every hidden curve and pore of her body, instants when I imagined tracing my hand across the hollow of her back or the swell of her buttocks, instants when I thought I knew the taste of her. But there was something else about Gita too, something my thoughts couldn't or wouldn't home in on, something too painful. All I knew was that it had something to do with the way she'd died.
"Listen," Zebra said, refilling my coffee cup, "could it just be that Ryvich has a death wish?"
I tried to focus on the here and now. I could have satisfied that for him on Sky's Edge.
"Well, a specific type of death wish, then, something that has to be satisfied here."
She looked lovely, her fading stripes permitting the natural geometry of her face to show more clearly, like a statue deprived of gaudy paint. But sitting face to face with each other over breakfast was as close as we had come since Pransky had brought us together. We hadn't shared a bed, and it was not just because I'd been inhumanly tired. Zebra hadn't invited it, and nothing in the way she